Hello?
Hey, is this Steve?
Yep.
Hey, Steve, it's Jeff Hughes, the Bears blog. How are you?
How you doing, Jeff?
Good to talk to you. Your brother set it up. I didn't realize you were a Jersey guy till I looked you up. I'm a Kearny, New Jersey guy myself, and I was excited. I said, Saddlebrook, I know Saddlebrook. I got all pumped up.
Oh, is that right? Where are you from, Jersey?
I'm from Kearny. Yeah, I'm from Kearny, right
The
outside
Kearny.
Newark.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know where
Yeah,
that is.
I went to St. Peter's Prep, so
Okay.
we had something of a football team for a while. Not when I was there, but we had one for a while.
Yeah, I played with Kier Griffin at Temple. You know that name? Did you
Yeah,
follow them at all?
I do. Yeah. So wait,
He
when
was a
you were
pretty
at Temple,
big deal
were
there.
you at so by the way, how I work these things is we just start talking. It's already recording, so there's nothing really formal about it. We just sort of chat and hopefully we get some good stuff. So you were at Temple. You had a 1 year overlap with Evan Rodriguez, right, when you were there?
3 years, actually. Or 2.5
You were there.
years
Oh,
with
so you were
Evan.
there. Now, okay, so Evan, are you surprised? I'm a little sorry. Are you surprised Evan Rodriguez right now is not in the league with all that talent?
Yes. Absolutely. I am very surprised with that. I think he made the final cut with the Dolphins and then got cut like the next day or something because I remember seeing that. I remember talking to him a few days before cut day, and he said that he was pretty safe, felt he was pretty safe. The coaches liked him. And yeah, he hasn't gotten picked up yet. I mean, he's the kind of guy that has the talent that he can be a fullback for a team and also the guy that can split out and run around. And it's very rare because he can take up two roster spots with just him. So I'm surprised he hasn't landed anywhere yet.
I mean, we have to assume it's all field stuff, right? I mean, because the talent's there. We have to assume right now with all of the things that have sort of happened this off season, people are a little standoffish because of the off the field stuff. But I mean, you know him probably. I mean, maybe as well as any player in the league since you've played with him. Can he get over that? Can he get over the off field stuff and be a productive NFL citizen as well as player?
Yeah, I mean, he's come a long way since he was a kid. When he first got to Temple, he was, he obviously got into some trouble before he got to Temple, and he really grew up, man. Even when he was here, he was, for the most part, he was living the right way. He made two stupid mistakes. I mean, the one in Florida and the one here was, I remember talking to him the night before that, and he was, talking about doing right and working hard, and he just happened to, just stupid of him not to drive home with something in his system like that. And he got caught, and it's a shame because he really was trying to do better, and just a stupid mistake of drinking and driving, which nobody should ever do. It's just especially the money we make. We can afford car services, we can afford taxis, hotels, whatever you want to do. And it's one
Steve,
mistake, and he's paying for it.
why does it happen so much then? I mean, I think that when you talk to fans about it, when we hear about DUIs and pro athletes, my first thought is you're not some truck driver in Jacksonville going to a roadside bar and you can't afford the cab. Why are so many of these guys driving drunk? It blows my mind when it happens. I mean, do players talk about it? Do players say to each other, why are all these guys doing this?
It's not common at all. I mean, guys get hotel rooms because, like I said, we have the money to do it and to take care of it. And I'd like to see a stat on that. I don't really think players do it as much. It's just anytime it happens, people get DUIs all the time, but anytime a player happens, it's all over the media. It's all over the headlines. I mean, there was a stat a while back about the United States Congress and all the trouble they got in it, and there's all these different stats of, all these crimes and stuff, and then it said, "This isn't the NFL, the NBA, this is the United States Congress." I think in any profession, people are getting in trouble. It's just word magnified because we're NFL athletes.
Well, let me tell you something. I take the NFL Players Association over the U.S. Congress pretty much any day of the week, for anything. I mean, I'll take you guys, and we could probably build a better legislature. Here's a question I have for you, because I was, I don't want to ask questions that everybody asks, the dopey shit. So here's a question for you. At what point in your career as a football player do you start to settle into this role of what they call the blocking tight end? Because it's sort of a tweener, right? You're not quite a tight end, you're not quite an offensive tackle. But you're doing both roles. So at what point in your football life do you suddenly realize, okay, this is the sort of niche I'm going to fit into as a pro, and I've got to perfect this skill?
it's at the point when I was running my 40-yard dash and about 20 yards in, I'm saying, oh, that's taking way too long. And then, you know, by the time I was done with that, I said, screw it, I'll be a blocking tight end. Realistically, it was I became a tackle when I first got into the league. My first 2 years, I was an offensive tackle, and that pretty much put a label on me for the rest of my career that I'm blocking tight end, which I fully accept that role. And I take pride in it, you know. The league needs blocking tight ends, and I'm doing the best I can.
Do you see yourself as someone who could be a productive offensive weapon as well? You listen, you should have had a touchdown last week. You were open in the middle of the end zone, and if that ball doesn't get tipped, it's coming to you. You're scoring on that play. Do you see yourself as someone who can make plays in the passing game as well and provide a threat?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I mean, when I get an opportunity and the ball's in the air, I mean, I'm bigger than most of these guys that cover me, and I can catch the ball over them. Maybe I can't beat them down the field, but I got strong hands, and I'm a big body, a big target. But needless to say, we have guys on our team that are better receivers than me. Martellus Bennett is a better receiver than me, and all our wide receivers are better receivers than me. And there's only so many balls to go around, so I'm not stressing over not getting any balls. I'm just doing anything I can to help the team.
Well, and that's another question I had. So are tight ends and offensive linemen, is that one meeting room during the week, or are those split meeting rooms?
No, they're split. There's obviously overlap. There's a lot of like
right.
meetings and stuff. But,
do you spend most of your time with the linemen?
Protection stuff. No, I spend all my time with the tight ends. But we also go over protection and stuff as you know, in practice a lot. We'll go over things because we work together a lot, you know, in run blocking and in pass blocking.
Is Martellus Bennett crazy? Or, I mean, is the stuff he says, is it for comic effect and he knows when the microphones are on? Or is it venturing into the world of crazy and we're all just along for the ride?
He was like that from the second I met him, and when the cameras go on, he's no different. That's just who he is. That's how he speaks, and he's a very smart man. I don't know if you guys could tell that.
Oh, you can definitely tell. I mean,
his jokes and stuff. But he could think on his feet, man. He's a character, and he's really smart, and he takes that knowledge of being funny in meetings, and he takes it onto a football field where he can analyze a defense, and he could read coverages better than any tight end I've been around.
You have an insight that I think a lot of fans would like to hear about, and the insight you have is you're in the huddle with Jay Cutler, and I think a lot of people have watched him grow up in Chicago here over the last few years. One of the things that he was criticized for, one of the things he was questioned about, is does he lead other men? Is he someone the guys in the huddle follow? You've been now in the huddle with him here for a few weeks. You spent a summer with him. Is he a leader of men? Is he someone that you look to and say, that's my quarterback, I'll follow him anywhere? Or is he still developing that personality?
I think he's a leader in more aspect than one. I mean, there's one way to lead is to have vocal leadership and, you know, be on people and yell at people and tell people to get them motivated. But that guy leads by example. I mean, Jay is the first one in every day. He's the last one to leave. He's always working on – he's in more protection meetings. He knows more about the offensive line than any offensive lineman does. And did you see that play the other day when he scrambled and he hit –
Golden.
With his hand and came back? How can you – yeah, that play. How can you not want to throw your body in the line for a guy like that? It's our quarterback, instead of sliding, to get an extra yard, bashes his head into a guy and practically runs him over. You know, that just fired us up. I mean, we were going nuts in the sideline. He leads by example, and it's really motivated our team and our offense.
And I get this. I get this sense. There's the fieriness of him, and the sort of thoughtfulness and the more contemplation of Trestman is a really good combination. You get the sense that sort of fire and water approach really works. Is how do you sum up Trestman so far? I mean, we don't know much about him. The media doesn't know much about him. He's very forthcoming with the media, but we don't really know that much about him as a man. What have you learned about Trestman in your time with him so far, and what do you expect from this offense as it moves along?
Coach Trest is he has a very detailed approach, and he's very calm and collective, and it's good for our offense because a lot of times you have bad offenses. I was on one last year that struggled, and there was a lot of chaos on the sideline, a lot of yelling, a lot of lack of control. And our sideline this year is it's under control, and the details are worked out, and we go to the sideline, we go through our coaching points, and it runs a lot smoothly than any offense I've been around.
And is how what percentage of the offense you think has been installed here in 3 weeks? I couldn't believe it when I saw a critical column today in the Sun Times about how the offense hasn't looked explosive, and you want to just start screaming. It's 3 weeks, guys. It's 3 weeks. Why don't we give it before we see what this offense is? What percentage of this offense has been installed so far, and is there a lot more we're going to hear over the next 10 weeks?
Well, there's always new stuff coming. You go in there, and you got to pay attention. And years past, I've been on teams where, like, it's the same plays, you know, your same core plays, and you go through, you know, throw this one out for this week, put this one in for next week. This year, there's always new plays, there's always new concepts, there's always things to learn. You always got to be on the balls of your feet with this offense. And I'm sure there's a lot more. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot more coming, but every Wednesday we go in, and every Thursday when third down goes in, we have to pay attention. You have to study, because there's I feel like it's never ending. There's a lot of stuff to learn, and it's makes a chance for a very dynamic offense.
How are you liking Chicago so far? You liking your
I
new
love
home?
It. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's a pretty great city, isn't it?
It's great. I'm living downtown. I'm taking the commute every day just because it's so nice down here.
Oh, I don't know why any player wouldn't. I mean, I understand the ones who are starting to pop babies out have to go out to the suburbs and hang out for a bit, but I think living downtown is the way to go. Steve, you got a Twitter feed at Steve Maneri. We got to get you some more followers. I don't like your number of followers. We got to get you more followers at Steve Maneri. What are you going to be doing with the Twitter feed here as the season goes on?
I mean, we just started it up. We're going to start giving away some things. I mean, I'm definitely going to give out a pair of tickets soon. And I just signed inked with Under Armour and got a product deal with them. So I'm looking to hand out some sweatshirts and some stuff as it gets colder. Just trying to get back to the fans a little bit.
Fantastic. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, you're a welcome addition to this team. It's a proud team to be a part of. The fans truly love the team. They'll get on you on Twitter as much as they'll show you the love, but it's all because they love the Chicago Bears. And I thank you for having Steve Maneri on, and I hope we'll have him back in the next couple of weeks, and we'll keep talking. So thanks, Steve.
Yeah, great to be on.